Hello and welcome from Good Shepherd Church of Camarillo. We're so glad you're with us. Here's today's message.
There is a little five-year-old named Brian, and he had the most important verse to recite in the children's Easter pageant at church. It was Luke 24, verse 6, which we all know. He's not here, he is risen. But unfortunately, as his turn came, his mind went blank and he couldn't remember what to say. So the director had to look at Brian and kind of prompt him along. And finally, for little Brian, it clicked in his mind. And little Brian boldly stepped up to the microphone and triumphantly shouted, "He is not here. He's in prison." I don't know if that's a true story, but something in me really believes that. That once upon a time, a kid must have said, "He's not here, he's in prison." And the truth is that we all know in our minds and in our hearts, those of us who are believers in Jesus, we know that Jesus is risen. We believe it. But too often we live like he's in prison, don't we? We all know that he's risen. God's word says it. And we know, too, that for believers in Jesus, this is the truth. It says that we have the power of the resurrection living in us. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that he is risen, or do you believe that he's still dead, that he's in prison? Romans 8:11, which we heard earlier, it says, "The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you." Lives in you. If you are a believer in the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ today, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. But so often we don't live like that. And I want to suggest as we begin here just a few ways that we live like Jesus is in prison. We often remain defeated by sin. Maybe you can relate to this. Maybe you live in regret of your past. Maybe you think regularly, I've just made so many mistakes. I have failed over and over again. I have bad habits that I keep falling into, or I consistently just keep making bad decisions. And so often we can't let go of our past, and we live in this constant state of regret, or this constant state where we feel like God is just looking down upon us in shame. And this then holds us back from the freedom that God wants us to experience through the power of the resurrection. Another thing that we do is we live in fear of the unknown. Has this past year been a test for us in the fear of the unknown? I mean, how many unknowns have we, each one of us, faced? And how many unknowns have we faced as a society? Think back to a year ago. We were all wondering, how long is COVID-19 going to last? What's going to happen to my health? Or when is the bottom going to fall out of the economy? Will I have a job 6 months from now? Or is the government just trying to take over? Are they going to control my life? Or maybe the flip side of that is the government going to step up to take care of me? Am I going to be okay? Will more and more of my religious freedoms be stripped away from me? Or how much longer will I be able to stand for the truth of God's word, stand upon biblical principles in my school or sharing it in my workplace? Do you realize today that the fear of the unknown is conquered in the power of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead? Love Romans 8:33 through 37. It asks some very important questions. It says, who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. This is our basis for standing right before God. Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? Verse 37, it says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Through him who loved us by dying on the cross for our sins, and who rose again 3 days later in victory over death. The other thing that we tend to do is we think of the resurrection as something that just simply happened to Jesus, just something that happened, but we don't realize that we can actually experience that same power of the resurrection. Jesus rose from the dead not only just to give us life and salvation, but he rose from the dead to give us strength and endurance for our everyday lives. I love what 19th century preacher C.H. McIntosh wrote this. He said, there is power in the presence of a risen Savior to solve our difficulties, to remove our perplexities, to calm our fears, ease our burdens, dry our tears, meet our every need, tranquilize our minds, and satisfy every craving of our hearts. What does it mean for you today? What does it mean to have Christ and the power of the resurrection living inside of you? Have you ever pondered that? If God's word is true, which we believe it is 100% true, and if God's word says that the same power that rose Jesus from the dead lives in you, what does that mean for us? Well, first, what does it mean, the power of the resurrection? What happened in the resurrection? There's a lot of details we don't know, but there are some details that Scripture includes. I want to highlight from Matthew 28, verses 2 through 4. You can turn there if you want. Matthew 28, 2 through 4. There are Bibles also in some of the chairs in front of you if you don't have one along with you today. Matthew 28, 2 through 4. Pay attention to some of the powerful forces mentioned here in the resurrection account. Starting at verse 2, it says, and behold, there was a great earthquake. You ever thought about that earthquake, what that earthquake must have been? When we talk about here in California, it's kind of everyone's like waiting for the big one, right? I don't know how many people actually are, whatever. But there was a great earthquake, so that in and of itself, just powerful. And then it says, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. Rolled back. How many of you have seen maybe the Jesus film or whatever, and maybe it depicts this angel slowly coming down from heaven and kind of gently rolling that stone away back in its groove? The language that's actually used in Scripture here implies that this stone was thrown away from the tomb, was rolled back. It could have been several feet from the tomb. Scholars don't know exactly, but most scholars conclude that this stone was just hurled away from the tomb by the power of Almighty God. says his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And listen to this power. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. Some of those powerful soldiers in the world trembled and became like dead men at the power of the resurrection. You know, this doesn't even mention the most powerful event that took place when Jesus' body actually came back to life. Do you know that the Bible doesn't even talk about exactly what happened? If you read through the Gospels and the accounts of the resurrection, doesn't even talk about that moment where Jesus' body actually came back to life. We don't know the details of what took place in that. In fact, a lot of scholars believe that Jesus didn't even come out of the entrance of the tomb. Some conclude that that stone that was rolled back was for us, for our sake, to be able to see that that tomb is empty. Could very well be that by the power of God, Jesus' body just simply came back to life, and he miraculously came maybe even through the walls of that tomb. We don't know. We can only imagine at this point. These are just some of the physical manifestations of the power of the resurrection. And so what does that mean then? If the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us, what does that mean for us? What does that mean for our everyday lives? So resurrection isn't meant to be just something that we remember that happened once upon a time, but the resurrection should be a reality that we live from day to day. It should change us. It should transform our outlook on life. And just for a few moments here this morning, I want to focus on three things that the power of the resurrection gives us in our daily lives. And I want you to repeat these after me. I'm going to give them to you up front here. Repeat them after I say them. So first, strength in suffering. Say that with me. Strength in suffering. Second, joy in life. Joy in life. And third, victory in death. Victory in death. So first, strength in suffering. Look back on this past year. I even just look out here today, and just by scanning the congregation here today, I know that most people here today have experienced some kind of significant suffering in this past year. And the resurrection gives us power in that suffering. Have you ever had those moments in your life where you just truly are facing extreme difficulties and you are truly wondering, living in the fear of the unknown, wondering, how in the world am I going to get through this? And I believe that God, we know from Scripture, this is why I believe it, is that for children of God, God works all things together for good, for his good, and for his glory, even our suffering. And the suffering that we face as believers then becomes a testimony to the power of God, to the power of the resurrection, to all who are watching, to a watching world. I appreciate Elizabeth Elliot's description of suffering in her book, Suffering is Never for Nothing. She describes it very simply this way. Listen to this. She says, suffering is having what you don't want or wanting what you don't have. There's really no way to compare our suffering or weigh our suffering. And it's as simple as that. Having what you don't want or wanting what you don't have. Having what you don't want. Cancer. losing your job, being jobless. An illness that a child is facing. Or wanting what you don't have. I just want to have a child. God, I just want to have my job back. I just want to have my health back. I want to have my relationship with my family back, whatever it might be. We can all think of something that we have that we don't want, or something that we want that we don't have. And the resurrection power gives us the power that we need to persevere in that suffering. The Apostle Paul in Philippians 3, he expresses his deep desire, to know Christ and to know the power of the resurrection. But listen here to how the Apostle Paul describes knowing the power of the resurrection. He says, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. Listen to this. He says, I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. So he's associating knowing the power of the resurrection by experiencing suffering. And we know for the Apostle Paul that it was persecution. There were many other things that he suffered. He suffered shipwreck. He suffered abandonment, sleepless nights, starvation. But in all of those things, God gave him the power through the resurrection to endure, to persevere in that suffering. And in that process, he then experienced that supernatural power of the resurrection. What is it? What is the one thing, or one of the things that Jesus promised his disciples the night before he died? He promised many things. But what's one thing that he promised? We don't often think of this as a promise, but this is what he said. In this world, you will have trouble. But listen to what he says next. This is the best part. This is why we're here today celebrating the resurrection. He says, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Amen? Amen. You know what's significant is he said this before he went to the cross, before he died, and before he rose again. He said, I have overcome the world. 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 10. This is how the Apostle Paul resolves that suffering that he faces. He says, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. If you read through the New Testament, you see all the references that the Apostle Paul gives to the power of the resurrection, and how it's the power of the resurrection that keeps him going. It's the power of the resurrection that can help us, does help us, the only way that we can endure suffering. One writer says, Jesus Christ is no security against storms, but he is perfect security in storms. And he has never promised you an easy passage. He's promised you a safe landing. And that's because we know that he has been risen from the dead, that he lives today. His power, if you trust in him, believe in him, lives inside of you. You have the resurrection power of Jesus in you. And that gives us strength in suffering. The second thing, the second power that we receive in the resurrection is joy in life. Joy in life. Imagine for a second how the women must have felt that morning as they headed off to the tomb. I would just imagine that their dreams were shattered. Everything, think about it, everything that they had known for 3 years and had probably just gotten their hopes up, everything just completely changed in just a matter of a few days. Without hope, completely confused. Who was this Jesus then? If he's now dead and in a tomb, the one who had been performing miracle after miracle, and the one who we thought was our hope for the future, now dead in the tomb. And then you think of the disciples who then at that time were hiding away without their Lord and without their master, likely fearing for their lives, wondering what's next, what's ahead. Imagine that, 3 solid years spent at Jesus' side. The miracles that they witnessed, the teaching that they heard, all of a sudden, it all changed. And they're all sitting there asking, now what? How much joy do you think they were expressing? But look at what happens in Mark 16, 6 through 7, which we read a little earlier. Mark 16, 6 through 7. Says, the angel said to the women who went to the tomb. Here's the good news. Here's the restored joy. Angel said, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place. Come and look. Come and see the place where they laid him. See with your own eyes. He's not here. The angel said, but go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. Don't be alarmed, the angel said. Your hope is not lost. He's not here. He's risen. He said, I have proof. Come and see. Look in the tomb. Rejoice. Your joy can be restored. Your Savior lives. Notice something else that restores their joy and would restore then the joy of the disciples. The angel instructed the women, go and tell the disciples. And who? And Peter. What's significant about that? That even Peter, he even wants to see Peter. Where do you think Peter was at this time? We don't know. But we know a couple things. We know that all of the disciples fled. After they had all promised their faithfulness to Jesus, we will not leave you. And then he's arrested and they all flee. They all run. And then we know Peter followed at a distance, and we looked at this a few weeks ago as we looked at the denial of Peter. Denied knowing Jesus 3 times and then the rooster crows, remembered the words of Jesus. It says that he went out and he wept, broke down. He broke down and he wept bitterly. But now the angel has good news for Peter, that Jesus wants to see you. Imagine Peter probably felt, who am I anymore? This incredible master, savior, teacher, why would he want to see me? I failed him. But the angel announces good news. Jesus wants to see the disciples who left him. He wants to see Peter who denied him and to restore his joy, restore his hope. What does that look like for us? What does that joy in life look like for us? The reason I think about that is because it can be so easy in the world in which we live to get down and discouraged, to get fearful of what's coming next, especially as believers in the Bible, standing upon biblical principles, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't know what's ahead. We don't know what hardships we're going to face. Think of one of the most famous hymns of all time is an Easter hymn, which we usually sing every year, Because He Lives. I think most of you probably know that, written by Bill and Gloria Gaither way back, I think it was in the 60s. What is it that makes a famous song so famous? Well, it's not only just the song, but it's usually the story behind that song. I was really inspired as I came across this story of the writing of Because He Lives, because I think it's so much of what we can relate to in our day. It was the late 60s, and Bill and Gloria Gaither were expecting a child, and at the time were going through a really traumatic time in their life. Bill was recovering from a bout with mononucleosis. And naturally, for Gloria during that time, it was just a period of a lot of anxiety and mental stress as she bore the weight of that and the fear of the unknown. And for her, the thought of bringing a child into this chaotic and crazy world was starting to take quite a toll on her. One night on New Year's Eve, she was sitting all alone in their living room and was really in a moment of agony and fear. She thought about the education system, which at the time was being infiltrated with the idea that God is dead. What are the things that are being infiltrated into our education system now? She thought about the drug abuse and the racial tensions that were increasing. And the more she let her mind wander, the more she became fearful. But all of a sudden, as she sat there, very unexpectedly, she was just filled with an overwhelming peace. She describes it this way. She says, as if her heavenly Father saw her fear and came to her rescue. She said the panic gave way to calmness and an assurance that only the Lord can give me. Right then and there, she was assured that she could face an uncertain future. It was shortly after that that their child was born, and both Bill and Gloria remembered then the incredible power that only the Holy Spirit can bring, the power that raised Jesus from the dead. They remembered Christ's resurrection and all its power for their daily lives. And that just completely changed their perspective. It revitalized their thinking. It gave them unspeakable joy. And that's when they wrote that song, Because He Lives. Because He Lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future. My life is worth the living just because He lives. Joy once again dominated the circumstances of that day in which they were living. And friends, doesn't that story sound like us today? We can have a certain future because we are certain that Jesus has risen from the dead. And that gives us joy, it gives us peace, gives us the promise of eternal life for all who believe. And the last thing it does for us, the power of the resurrection, it gives us victory in death. Victory in death. Can you imagine life if death were the end? Imagine life here on earth if life were the end. Sadly, this is how most people live. This life is all there is, So my only hope is here in this life. I don't know if there's anything after. And so this here on earth is everything that I have. How hopeless. And how revealing has that been over this past year in our world and in our society? As people have feared for their lives, ultimately the root of that is a fear of death. But for believers in Jesus, death is not the end. Death is not the end. If you are a believer in Jesus, you do not have to fear death. You can know for certain that there is life after death. There is eternal life. And not only does Jesus remove that fear of death, but he gives us the promise of life. He helps us look ahead to eternity that we don't even deserve. To be in heaven with him, to be in his presence. The Apostle Paul speaks of this, talks about the effect then it has on our life as we look ahead to that day, either that day where he calls us home or that day that Jesus returns, because we also know that just as Jesus was taken up into heaven, he will come back for all those that are still here on earth that believe in him and take them to be with him forever in eternity. This is what the Apostle Paul says about this. He says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written." And here is our promise that we can stand on, this saying right here. It says, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. You might say, well, but death still stings. It does. We felt that deeply this past year, just even in our own congregation. It hurts. But how many of you have been stung by a bee before? Raise your hand. I think probably all of us. That sting doesn't last. Can you imagine if a bee sting, like if you kept feeling that sting, it might feel sore later, right? Can you imagine if that same sting that you felt right when you were stung remained? As followers of Jesus, as believers in him, because he was raised from the dead, that sting is gone. And in this life here on earth, it's still going to hurt. We still face grief. We still face pain. In this world, you will have trouble. But that sting goes away. And ultimately, it will go away for good. The pain will go away for good. As the Apostle Paul says here, in that moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when we meet our Savior face to face, we will experience the ultimate victory over death. And that gives us life, that gives us purpose here today, that restores our joy, that gives us strength in whatever suffering we're facing. For many here today, I would imagine that this is an encouragement. This gives you strength today as you go and live your daily life as a believer. But maybe for some, maybe you've never experienced that power of the resurrection, because maybe you've never believed in the power of the resurrection. Maybe you've never come to faith in Jesus Christ before. And you're wondering, how can I be certain? How can I not fear death? And how can I be certain of eternal life? Because believe me, so many people I talk to say that they hope. I hope I'll get to heaven. I think I'm a good enough person. But I have good news for you today. You can know for certain that you will be with him in eternity. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen. Simply by confessing him as Lord and believing in your heart, which you can do right here, right now, as you're sitting in your chair. Confess with your mouth. Say, Jesus, I believe in you. You are Lord. Be my Lord. And I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. In just a moment, we're going to come forward. Anyone who would like to partake together in the Lord's Supper. What it says in the Bible is that as we do, as we come and receive the body and blood of Jesus in these elements, that we proclaim his death until he comes. And that is the only reason we can have the hope of eternal life, because of the payment that Jesus made for us on the cross. The debt that he wiped away, the debt of our sin. We come and we receive that forgiveness today through the promise of his word. And we receive the strength that Jesus wants to give us in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Let's pray as we prepare. Lord God, we thank you that you did raise Jesus from the dead. We thank you that we can live this life here and have strength in our suffering. We thank you that we can have joy in our everyday life, no matter what's going on around us. And we thank you that we can have victory over death by what Jesus did for us when he died on the cross and when he was raised from the dead. May that power live inside of us from day to day. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.